Let us now turn to the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the Gospel of John and the chapter 8, commencing reading at the verse 31 through to the verse 59. This is God's holy word. Let us hear the word of Almighty God. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This is not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honour my Father, and ye do dishonour me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad." And said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Amen. So reads God's holy word, and we pray that the Lord will bless that public reading of his precious, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. Dear friends, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you there in the Gospel of John and the chapter 8. The Gospel of John and the chapter 8. And taking the words of our Lord Jesus Christ there found in the verse 51 as my text this afternoon, the Lord graciously enabling me, praying that he would come in and help me at this time to minister his word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Well, what exactly do these words mean? And what application do they have upon our lives? Well, they have application to every soul. As we read here, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, by nature, we will never keep Christ's word. That is for sure. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. But here is a sure promise to all that receive Christ's words. If a man not only receives his word, but keeps his word, my saying. And it's very interesting here, the word my saying is the word logos in the Greek. And that word simply means my word. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. And we'll point that out. That same word is used elsewhere in this passage. Well, let me just go for a moment in our mind's eye. Let us take ourselves here upon the scene in John chapter 8 as we prepare to come to the verse 51. What is the scene and what is the setting that is before us? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ now is coming to the end of his earthly ministry. He has been ministering in the various regions of Israel, ministering the word of God. He has been healing. He's been performing mighty acts and miracles. And he's coming now to the end of that time. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders have been dogging his steps throughout his earthly ministry. They hated him. They hated him without a cause. They were envious of him, jealous of him. But there were those that gladly received his teaching. You notice in the verse 2 there, we read firstly in the verse 1 how the Lord Jesus went out into the Mount of Olives. And we read in the verse 2 says, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. How wonderful it must have been to hear the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, to sit at the feet of the Son of God, and to hear him preach. What words must have proceeded from his lips. You know, John tells us at the end of the book of John that all the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, if they were, we read there, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain in all the books. He did many wonderful things and said many wonderful things. Many of the things are not recorded for us in Scripture, but the things that are recorded for us are the things that we need to hear. And it's vital that we listen with Judgment Day honesty. The Lord Jesus Christ said, by the measure that ye hear, it shall be given unto you. And he said, therefore, take heed to not only what you hear, but how ye hear. We are very selective in our hearing, friends, very sadly. We hear sometimes what we want to hear. And there are many things that we may not want to hear, but these things we need to hear, the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no more important truths than God's word. If ever we need to hear anything, it is to hear God speaking in his word. And I pray that he might speak to our souls here this afternoon. See how the many people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. May we be taught of God. How wonderful it must have been to sit at the feet of the Lord. But the Lord has said, where two or three are gathered in his name, lo, he is there in the midst. And as his word is opened up, as we read concerning the Ephesians, you know how Paul says there in Ephesians 2:17 that Christ came preaching unto you And he comes preaching by his Spirit to his churches and by his true ministers who will preach and who will expound the Word of God. And I pray that he might do so by his Spirit this afternoon. Now we read here, many listen to him gladly. But as this passage unfolds, as the day unfolds, and as is recorded in this passage, there was vehement opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. As he sat down there teaching the many, we notice that there are the scribes. Notice the verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, you know the occasion of this. They brought this woman to try to trip him up. They never came to really listen and learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They just come to be critics of God's word. I hope that nobody here is a critic, but rather a listener, an obeyer of God's word. And you know, as that scene unfolded there, as they brought this woman, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? Well, he said, whosoever of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then, of course, he goes on to speak about the fact that he was without sin himself. Which of you accuseth me or convicteth me of sin? He could never be convicted of sin. And then he wrote upon the ground. People don't know what he wrote. He may well have written the law of God, the Ten Commandments, as they were written with the finger of God, weren't they, on the tablets of stone. And perhaps he wrote the law of God there on the ground. And one by one, they each departed from the Lord. They were guilty, convicted in their own hearts. And you know that has to be us. The law of God speaks to us and we say we are guilty sinners, aren't we? We have no hope before God. We have broken his laws. But it's very interesting. You come down to the verse 12 and once again, those men that departed from the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked away, they appear again, quite astonishingly, in the temple. Notice, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go, and so on. They judged after the flesh, as he goes on to teach. But you know, he was God in the flesh, wasn't he? That's the amazing thing. And by his mighty acts, he proved that he is God. God was manifest in the flesh, and he did the mighty acts and deeds. He has taught many things, done many wonderful things. And despite all of that, despite all the wondrous things that he did, healing the blind, the lepers, the lame could walk, the dead were risen. He fed thousands. Despite doing all of these things, they would not bow to him. They would not, because of their hard hearts, they would not bow to him. And they would not acknowledge him. Now, throughout this passage, the tensions rise and the scene becomes more and more intense as we go along. You notice again in the verse 21, Then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said concerning them, You're of your father the devil. You believe not because you will not hear. You won't hear my words. You won't receive them. He says, I'm very different to you. Verse 46, Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You see, ye therefore hear them not. You're not of God. You don't hear God's words. I'm from God. I'm sent from God. And it is on that backdrop that we come to the verse 51, you see, about hearing and receiving and keeping his words. With that, the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins with these words, verily, verily. Literally in the Greek there, it is amen and amen. When he says those words, verily, verily, amen and amen, he's saying, I'm going to tell you something that is of most profound importance, that bears significance on your eternity. Because he goes on to speak about that very matter. He's going to tell us something very profound, and I want to think on the verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, and again I say to you that that word saying is the word logos. If any man keep my word, or my saying, he shall never see death. Now let's just think upon that for a moment. What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean when he says to people, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death? Does he mean that we'll never die, that we'll never face a physical death? Well, he cannot mean that. They would have accused him here of lunacy if he were saying, you know, you're never going to die if you keep my sayings. You're never going to face physical death. He's not meaning that at all. And the scriptures as well tell us, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. He surely cannot be contravening scripture. He doesn't mean here physical death. But we're going to touch on this a little later on in the message this afternoon about what he means. Let me just say this for the believer, for the one who truly keeps, and will consider what that means to keep his word. You see, death itself, the believer shall never experience death as a judgment. There are two parts of death. There's the physical death, and then there's the second death, which the book of the Revelation mentions four times. And that is eternal and everlasting separation from God. Of course, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But here the Lord Jesus Christ is not speaking about physical death, but he is speaking about everlasting death. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, this is a vital subject, isn't it? Particularly at this time when I suppose in our land everybody is speaking about death with this virus. Whatever we may make of it, it may not be the virus that will take you. You know, there are many ways we leave this world. There are many people dying today without the virus. Over 6,000 people, did you realize? Every hour, over 6,000 people die without the virus. 6,000 people die every hour. Where do the vast majority of those people go when they die? Well, the Bible is very clear on that answer. Friends, if we die without Christ, we die in our sins, and we go to a lost eternity. And I would say there's nothing more certain than death, is there? This is a vital subject, isn't it? There's nothing more certain than death. You may be very young here this afternoon. You're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. We just don't know when. Many people are taken at a very early age. I often remind my hearers that I have lost friends and even family members very young. You know, before I'd reached double figures, 10 years old, I had lost people my early life. I'd seen little children die, children I knew. And even in my teens and in my 20s and 30s and so on, we just don't know when we're going to die. There's nothing more certain than death, but there's nothing more uncertain than the time of our death. We just don't know when we're going to die. Now let's just come to this text and seek to open it up. Again, he says, verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, again, this word, my saying, it's the word logos, my word, whoever keeps my word. And then secondly, We're going to think upon keeping his saying, keeping his word. What does that mean? Keeping it. And then thirdly, he shall never see death. I want to meditate upon that a little this afternoon. So let's just come to the text here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Notice, if you come down to the verse 31 there, verse 31, these people would not listen. They would not receive his word. And it implies, surely, doesn't it? If you're going to keep his word, first of all, you've got to receive it, don't you? You've got to receive Christ's word. Notice the verse 43. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Verse 43. They cannot hear. But why is it they cannot hear? Notice the verse 31. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Well, many profess to be his disciples in John 6, but they walked with him no more. Some people follow up to a point, don't they? And then that's it. They no longer walk with the Savior. There's a professed faith, but there's not true obedience. You know, it's to keep on in the word, isn't it? As we read in John 6, 44, many of his disciples followed him no more. Why is it that they would not hear it? Why is it? Because they were not of him. Verse 43, even because ye cannot hear my word. So the hearing of the word is important, but they resist the word of God because they are not of him. Now, what is Christ's word? Well, we must say this, he's been preaching himself, isn't he? Now, of course, I would never preach myself. That would be a foolish thing. No preacher preaches himself. But the Lord Jesus Christ preached that salvation is in him and through him. He is the Word. He is the Word made flesh. As John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. He is the eternal Logos. And you see, if we do not receive him, we shall die in our sins. Notice the verse 24, and I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. He has been preaching that he is God's sent Son, the Messiah, the Redeemer, and that salvation is only in him. He has been preaching about himself to the Jews. He's been preaching about himself to the religious leaders, like Nicodemus. Nicodemus, I say unto you, ye must be born again. But not only that, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he that believeth on him, he that believeth on me, is not condemned. But then he went on to say, Nicodemus, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? He says, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, to receive Christ's word, to keep his word, firstly, is to receive the message of his word. It's the message of the whole Bible. What is the message of the whole Bible? We've all sinned. We all come short of God's glory. And frankly, this whole human race is doomed without the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost eternity, to everlasting perdition and damnation in the fires of hell. Because we all stand guilty before a holy God. And Christ came to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the clear teaching of the Bible. If you hear any other kind of preaching, it's not the scriptures, it's not Christ's word. This is Christ's word. He is the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. He is the one who would bear the iniquity of his people. Yes. His word is the whole Bible. Not just the things he's saying here. Remember what he said to the Pharisees. He said, ye search the scriptures, and in them ye think ye have eternal life, but it is they which do testify of me. The whole of the scriptures testify of the Lord Jesus. From cover to cover, search it out. You will read of Christ, John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but it is they which do testify of me. His word, of course, is not just limited to what he said here on the scene. But you know, Christ is speaking throughout the Bible. He gave the prophecies to the prophets. The things are recorded of Christ. And dear friends, you know, the Bible is completely trustworthy. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the only righteousness that we may have before Almighty God. He is Jehovah Sekinu, the Lord, our righteousness. We have no righteousness but by Jesus Christ. The sinner is condemned apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. If any man enter in, he may be saved. He is the resurrection and the life, he said to Martha, didn't he? There's no life, there's no resurrection apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, every person will be raised, but some to eternal and everlasting damnation and perdition, but some to everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's to receive his word. But as we do so, it's to keep it, it's to embrace it with a whole heart and to cling on to his word, as it were, with a death grip. His word is truth. All of his word is verity. And you see the warning to sinners, if they believe not upon him, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You see, these people were not receiving his word. They were not embracing it with a whole heart. My friends, it's not maybe the Lord Jesus Christ is true. He either speaks the truth or he's a liar. But I say he's no liar. And many Christians have proven that in their life. That God is true to his word. And he blesses the soul that is saved. And they know his presence in this life. This one who is the truth. We read there Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. The gospel's the truth, isn't it? But you know, there's the gospel in the Old Testament. Isaiah the prophet is referred to the Old Testament gospel messenger, because so much of the gospel's there. So much of the gospel is in the books of the Old Testament. He is the messenger of the covenant, and it's the gospel of truth. Paul says this to the Ephesians in Ephesians 1:13, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And the gospel is received into the heart of God's people. They don't say it's a lie. They don't reject it. They receive it. You see, from eternity past, God determined that he should have a people for himself. Natural man hates God, denies God. The heavens and the earth, day to day, declare the glory of God. The fool says in his heart, not in his head. His head tells him there's a God. But his heart says, I will not submit to God. I will not even submit to God if he should come in the flesh and he should do all these miracles. I'll not submit. Do you not see the hardness of people's hearts? It's right here, friends, in the scriptures. And we are condemned without the Lord Jesus Christ because we've sinned. We've come short of his glory. And you know, God has determined to save a people. And when he saves them, they embrace his word, they receive it, and they keep it, and they seek to walk in newness of life. Why? Because they've got the Holy Spirit of God, and they no longer resist the things of God. You see, that's what is implied in this keeping his word. God is determined in this life to have a people for himself, a holy people, a people zealous for good works. And there's the Christian. You know, a Christian's not somebody who just receives the truth of Christ and says, ah, now I'm saved. But there's a change, there's a turning, there's repentance toward God. There's a true grieving over our sin. And there's a yearning now to please the Christ who died for us. Dear friends, what a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately what he did was he bore our curse there, all that believe upon him. He bore the agonies, the wrath of Almighty God. He took the punishment of all of God's people. You see, and he gives us humble hearts to believe in him. It's all the work of God's grace. Well, the Lord has been preaching what Isaiah 54:17 says, their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Christian says, I have no righteousness. My righteousness is in God. My righteousness is in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's my hope. There's my life. And this is the gospel. This is the good news, friends, to all that believe upon Christ. And there's everlasting life in him. You know, as he preached, think of that time he stood up in the temple in Luke chapter 4. And he read from the scriptures. And he read that part where it reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Well, friends, you know we're bruised under the fall, aren't we? We are captives to sin. And those who believe not, we've even seen in this chapter here, he who sins is a slave to sin. In Adam, we are not only slaves to sin, but we are blinded by the devil. This is why he's calling them sons of the devil, because they will not receive his word, they will not receive his teaching, and they thus reject him. But what does he do? He sets those who were once prisoners to their own sin and blinded by Satan, he sets them free. Whom the Son sets free, as we've read, is free indeed. Freed from the curse of the law, freed from the condemning power of the law, and the Holy Spirit gives them life and liberty now to serve God. This is the great mystery from all eternity, that God should so do this through his dear Son. You know, he saved people in the Old Testament. It was just a matter of time that Christ would come and he would die for his elect. But his Spirit was in them in the Old Testament. David said, remove not thy Spirit from me. But there was a time when justification would be wrought there at the cross at Calvary, when he, the just, would die for the unjust, and that he should be raised for our justification, and he would bring us unto God. And he gives faith to believe in what he did for his people there. This is the love of God. You see, all those who are not God's will resist this. Why? Because you're children of the devil. I have to say that, just being honest. Because that's what Christ says. You know, I know it's not a flattering thing to say that you're in league with the devil, but you know, the Bible tells us plainly that sinners do not believe because they're blinded and because they have a heart that is against God. Will we reckon with this? You see how enraged they were? They picked up stones to throw at him. But he passed through their midst. Well, he is God. You cannot harm him until his time has come. And you may be enraged at the preacher this afternoon. You may be enraged in the things that are being said, but we preach the truth. But you know, the Lord sets at liberty many captives. Many. Forgiveness is a great need, isn't it? This is what he came preaching. This was the truth, if you receive my words, that forgiveness is through Christ. You know, many people, they speak about salvation in this wise. God, well, if he will accept me. Well, God can't accept us. We're great sinners. God could never accept you. He could never accept me apart from the mercy that is in his Son. His Son was given as the mercy for his people. Mercy comes at a great price. But the world says no. I want to give God something to pay for my sins. There's nothing we can give God, friends. Nothing at all. Nothing we could commend ourselves before God. We're lost and we're condemned forever without the forgiveness that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lost forever. Now somebody might object and say, well, we're not deserving of this. Well, I would answer to you, of course we're not deserving. why it's called mercy, isn't it? The gospel is unbelievably wonderful. This is why Paul refers to the gospel in Acts 20, the verse 24. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's the grace of God. But you see, people don't want it. People want religion. You can say, look, I've done something. I've done something to earn, to merit God's favor. But this is all at the mercy of God. See how proud men's hearts are? Men will not receive, and there's nothing but pride in the heart. And unless God converts your soul, you'll die in your sin. You'll die in your pride. It's a terrible thing, isn't it, to die in pride, in sin, and without forgiveness? You will not come. You will not receive my word. Well, what else did he teach? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he could say in his high priestly prayer in John 17, as he was praying to the Father, I have declared thy name, Father. What was he meaning by that? He said, I have manifested thy name unto those whom thou hast given. The Lord Jesus Christ, being truth, is indeed, as the apostle tells us in Colossians, he is the express image of God the Father. He displayed all the glorious attributes of God in his life. The love of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God. He declared the Father's name. A man's name is his character, isn't it? And the Lord Jesus Christ set forth all those things, proved that he is God by his wisdom, by his power, by his excellencies, by everything. He is altogether glorious and lovely. And yet men, what did they do? They put him upon a wicked cross. My friends, if you ever question what people think about God, go in your mind's eye to Calvary and see what they did to God the Son, who is the express image of God. Secondly, if a man keep my saying, he is a man who embraces it in his life. Or, again, this word he is saying, my logos, my teaching, my word. The whole Bible. The whole Bible tells you, friend, and I, that we're sinners and we're lost. And that we're so evil by nature. And we have no hope but Christ. Our only hope is in Christ's word. That he is the mercy of God sent down. Now you notice, as I said earlier, receiving and this keeping obviously means we need to hear first. Notice the verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear him not, because you're not of God. The reason why people do not hear God's word is they are not of God. God has determined for people to be saved. And by nature, we reject his word and we will not hear him because we're not of God. We reject his son, we reject the message of his word. Does his message offend you? The Lord Jesus Christ said elsewhere, blessed is he who's not offended in me. Does the things that Christ teach about you and about me, does that offend you? There's a warning, isn't there? It may offend you. And often the truth offends us, doesn't it? Truth really offends us, you know. We don't like to hear the truth at times, do we? It offends us. And we pull the blinds down. And we shoot arrows. That's the human heart. But we love God who speaks the truth. Tells us of our condition and tells us of our need. And remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said elsewhere in Matthew 11, 15. He said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. We've got ears to hear. Hear it. Receive it. And then in Mark 4:24, he said, take heed what ye hear. Be careful. There are preachers that tell you you're okay. You need to just do a certain few things and you'll be a Christian. God will accept you. Do charitable work. Be a good person. You'll never be accepted. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, friends, could earn us any merit with God. It must be the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the basis on which we're accepted. That's it, isn't it? Simple. The gospel is actually very, very simple. But people listen to what they want to hear. You listen to Christ's word. You search the scriptures. You know, don't believe. I say, come under good ministry, but always have a Bible open before you. And ask the Lord to search your heart. Ask Him to teach you. Ask Him to teach you the things that I've been saying. Ask Christ to speak to you. Do we understand what His whole word is about? We're without hope without Him. Do we understand the message of the cross? Go in your mind's eye for a moment to the cross. What two great attributes of God do we see there? I'll tell you what we see. We see the justice of God. That's the very first thing we see. God spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, that is, all that believe upon Him. God spared not His Son. We see the justice of God. See what God thinks of sin. As He was bearing the sin of His people, the Father had to forsake Him. But then what else do we see? We see the love of God. Greater love hath no man this, that he should give his life for his friends. We see the love of God there. And we don't lose that saying, do we? Whoever keepeth my saying. This is the truth, isn't it? We believe this is our hope. This is the ground of our hope. And the gospel is to be believed. The apostle tells us that God shall come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news, but it's more than the good news. It calls us to a holiness of life, and to follow after Christ, and to walk in His ways. That's it. Whoever keepeth my sayings, not just receiving the truth. You know, it's like the seed that was sown upon stony ground, how quick it came up. And then all of a sudden the trials and the tribulations, the sun coming down, bearing upon that seed, didn't last long. But you see, this is everything for the Christian. He holds on to it. He keeps my sayings. Shall never see death. You know, if God has begun a good work in us, firstly by convicting us of our sin, and bringing us to that place of repentance and faith, He that has begun a good work in us will see it to completion to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it doesn't mean living an absolute, perfect, holy life, but that's our great grief as Christians, that we're not as we ought to be. Well, we want to please Him. But lastly, notice, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, there's something profoundly strange about what he's saying here. What does he mean? As I've said, can't be referring to physical death, because he himself knew he was going to die. He knew his disciples were going to die. And his words so clearly teach us that the wages of sin is death. So what does he mean? Well, it's very clear the Christian shall never experience death as a judgment. You see, I want you to think of it this way. After we die, everything good is taken away from us, especially in hell forever. You may be here this afternoon thinking, as you listen, I'm without God right now. No, you're not. You're not living without God. Think of all the goodness He's given. The sun, the rain, friends, love, fresh bread, a lovely ripe peach on a summer's day, water to drink, everything. Those are all gifts from God. Everything that's good, kind friends, mercies of God every day, that's one day going to be taken away. And when all of that is taken away, you will perish. The thing is, you will never actually die as a soul. What the word here really means, death, is to perish. And that is to become less and less of a person, to be more degraded, to become more loathsome to yourself and to others, and all goodness and mercy taken away from you. There'd be no friends in hell, but everybody be cursing each other and be cursing God. It will be a nightmare in hell. And there's no hope. You've entered into 1,000 years in hell, and there's wrath to come. There's more wrath. More wrath and more wrath. There, as God consigns men to the region of the damned and to an everlasting punishment. But you see, he who receives Christ's word and keeps it, there's a sure grounds that God has forgiven you of your sins, and you will never taste that death, that everlasting separation from God. And you will go into the bliss of heaven. You will not go into the infernos of hell. And you will not suffer, but you shall go to be with God and his angels because of what Christ has done. You see, Christ changed the course of death for his people. I mean death in its true and final sense, in its everlasting state. As I say, we enter death, don't we? But we think sometimes, we think of death as merely just dying. But then there's the judgment. And then there's the everlasting separation from God. That's the death of deaths. That's the second death. And my dear friends, the first death has nothing on that second death. And the Lord Jesus Christ is warning people here. As he spoke to Martha, the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. After the resurrection, what's there going to be? Our spirits, if we are Christ's, will be reunited with our bodies to a glorious state, to have a heavenly body, and to enter life eternal forever in a new heavens and a new earth. The Lord Jesus said there to Martha, whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this, Martha? There's our hope. Think of this, the Christian will never die, feeling the wrath of God. Or death might be a very scary thing upon us right now. But you know, if we die now, we do not fear the wrath of God, because we have believed upon Christ. We do not die fearing the wrath of God. We will never die feeling the weight of guilt. What an immense eternity awaits those who die in their sin without Christ, without pardon. They will have the weight of the guilt of their sin upon them forever, and they will be cast into perdition forever. No, the Christian will never see that death. Will never have the torments of conscience, where the worm never dies. No. But by death we go to the Lord Jesus. The very first thing we will see at our death is him who loved us and gave himself for us. That's a huge difference, isn't it? To those who die. Think of the many who are dying without Christ. But how wonderful is the death of God's saints. The Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because they do not enter that second death, but they go to be with God forever and forever, all overturned because of Christ. And what a fool these people were. Remember, as we thought this morning in Luke 13, as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the Jews, as they were talking about those whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices and the tower which fell upon them at the Tower of Siloam, he said, suppose ye that they were worse sinners? No, he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And my dear friends, we cannot receive this word. The gospel cannot be received without repentance. When the Lord Jesus Christ began to preach, he said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." The gospel's not for all. It's for those who repent. That's where it begins. You cannot receive the good news unless there's repentance. And we always make a happy discovery. When we repent, we realize it was God that was so humbling us and bringing us to him to make us repent. May God be pleased to so work in souls and bring you to that place. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. These are the sayings of Christ. They are true. This is the gospel. God's warning. There's wrath to come, but there's a heaven through Jesus Christ. Amen.